a trial that I, like I said, I never expected to be on a trial like this. Sitting there day in, day out, listening to all the evidence and, you know, looking at Mr. Biden over there.
Well, that's pretty hard to understand there, so I'm going to cut into this. But that was one of the jurors from the Hunter Biden trial. Isn't it interesting that we've already heard from jurors from the Hunter Biden trial? How many have we heard from the Trump trial? Why aren't they speaking? I'm just curious. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what I'm alleging. But we see a conviction come down from the Hunter Biden. He had three charges against him. He's convicted on all three of those trials, all three of those charges. And Donald Trump, of course, has been convicted on 34 counts. They both say that they're going to appeal. And you got to ask yourself, the justice system, is it something that you can trust these days? Let's ask our friend Droy Murdoch about it. He's with us once again, a nationally syndicated columnist and, of course, a Fox News contributor. Droy, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
It's great to talk to you again, Annie.
Thank you so much. Were you surprised that in Delaware, Hunter Biden was found guilty on three counts?
A little bit. I thought the, home court advantage might have worked out to his benefit. But I think the evidence in this case was just so overwhelming, and also it's a very simple case. You know, did you or did you not fill in the box saying that you were a drug addict at the time that you applied to buy a gun? And the Hunter Biden defense was, well, at the exact moment you fill out the form, he was not on drugs. You know, I guess that's like saying, well, you know, I'm not having a drink right now, so I'm not an alcoholic at the moment. I mean, you know, either you're an alcoholic or you're not, you're a drug addict or you're not. So I think that was pretty straightforward. So I think it was a little hard for them not to convict him, although I did think, you know, that the power of the Biden family might have intimidated some of those people, especially with the First Lady sitting right there in the courtroom for 6 out of 7 days. But I guess that didn't have the effect that the Biden family intended.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by it. I thought maybe we would be looking at a hung jury. I was also surprised that Donald Trump was found guilty on all 34 counts. I was expecting a hung jury there. What were your thoughts after the conviction came down from the Donald Trump experience of watching him go through that trial, and everybody was scratching their heads going, how could they possibly convict him based on all the things that were appealable throughout the process?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. I know I was on air with you a couple of times, and I let our audience know that I have been on three juries as a juror here in Manhattan, and that I really thought they would take this situation more seriously, not engage in, hey, let's get Trump. I don't know if that's what they did or not, but that they would look at how flimsy this case is, how you had a county DA and a state judge asking them to make decisions on federal law. You don't present federal law before jurors in a state courthouse. You have to do it in a U.S. courthouse with a U.S. attorney, not a county DA. So that was a complete abrogation of the concept of jurisdiction, you should have everybody. This goes back to the year 1367, 657 years of Anglo-American common law says that you have to have all the jurors agree unanimously on all the elements of the crime, not, you know, four of them saying, well, this is a federal election crime, four others saying, well, we think this is a falsification of records offense, and another four saying, well, we think this is a tax, federal tax matter. No, you can't do that. You're supposed to have all 12 jurors say, yes, he's guilty of this crime or that crime or the other, not just sort of a, you know, cafeteria type, you know, hodgepodge. But they were, I guess, I suppose the lawyers on the jury didn't say to their colleagues that that was inappropriate. So I was a bit surprised by the convictions and also by the speed with which this happened. I thought there'd probably be at least one or two people holding out and that they would go on for several days until those people either buckled or you end up with a hung jury.
You know, Droy, when I'm watching the Manhattan trial and the Hunter Biden, one being a state court, one being a federal court, I understand that there's some difference there. And I'm learning a lot following these different court cases that we are confronted with as citizens and voters right now. I am asking myself if it matters what your political affiliation is, what your political history is, what you've put out there before. I'm wondering if that matters, if I were to ever find myself in the position of a defendant.
Well, it sure seems that way. You know, it used to be the ideal was equal justice under law. And now we seem to have a bipolar justice system. I mean, notwithstanding Hunter Biden's conviction yesterday, or convictions on three counts of gun charges yesterday, we find over and over and over again, if you are a Democrat, you skate away without consequences. And if you're a Republican, you either get sentenced to jail or you go to jail. You're in big trouble. Perfect example is you take a look at you know, the contrast between Hillary Clinton in 2016. She used her law firm, paid her law firm to find an opposition research company called Fusion GPS. They hired a former British spy named Christopher Steele to dig up dirt on Trump. He put together the so-called Steele dossier, which had a lot of disinformation and nonsense and, you know, fiction in it. And it, that then was released into the media, and boom, all of a sudden, the whole three-year-long Russia hoax is off and running. In her documents, in her various filings with the federal government, she put down that expenditure to Perkins Coie, her law firm, as, quote, legal services, quote, unquote. Okay, no charges, nothing happened. She actually $8,000. She paid an $8,000 fine. Now you compare that to the Trump case, where allegedly he paid money, or Michael Cohen paid money to Stormy Daniels to be quiet about her alleged affair with Donald J. Trump, which he denies. She also has denied as well. That then is put in the books at the Trump Organization as, quote, legal expenses, unquote. That then is found to be against the law, and Trump is now convicted felon on 34 charges. I mean, almost exactly the same behavior. One of them, $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. I think the money to Fusion GPS was $175,000, so not too far off in terms of the amount of money. And the question was, did you put, you know, appropriately or inappropriately list this in your records as a legal expense, or you didn't? Hillary Clinton got an $8,000 fine, you know, laugh the whole thing off, and Trump potentially could go to jail. So I think we have a two-track justice system. It's, you know, either light punishment or no punishment for Democrats, and they throw the book at Republicans. And I think that's that sort of thing is what eventually pulls a society to pieces, when you've got not one justice system we all can believe in, but, you know, one system for one group of people, depending on what their beliefs are, and a totally different system for others.
Mm-hmm. You know, Drew, I think that the only way out of this for Republicans right now is through, or for America loving individuals is through. There has to be, and the only way to rectify this is to drain the swamp. And that is a phrase that we've heard for quite some time. But, you know, it's to put people into the justice system that we have in this country that are going to adhere to the Constitution, not to the Republican side of the aisle, not to, you know, swing the pendulum all the way past where the moderate norm center should be. But this clearly, there's no way to rectify this if Donald Trump doesn't win in November.
No, there isn't. And I explain all this in a piece on a Newsmax called One Justice System, Why Not Two, which ran Monday. I'm actually updating it with a little more information right now. And you're right. I think the only way this stops is if the Republicans give the Democrats a delicious taste of their own medicine. You know, we've tried the be nice approach in the past. You know, Donald J. Trump said lock her up, and he got into office. And he didn't make any effort to lock up Hillary Clinton. He said, you know, let's keep the country unified. Let her be a grandma. Leave her alone. And look what that bought him. It didn't, you know, the Democrats didn't say, all right, you were nice to Hillary. Okay, we'll back off. No, they continue to come after him with, you know, with meat cleavers, with the Russiagate hoax, impeachment one, impeachment two, and now, you know, four and five different trials in federal and state court. Back in 2000, when G.W. Bush came in, the Clintons trashed the Oval Office, not the Oval Office, I should say, the old executive office building. They removed the W's from the keyboards of various computers, as in George W. Bush. They apparently left a lot of trash behind. It was just a big mess. And the Bushes said, you know, let's not talk about this. Don't bring in the press. Cover it up. Let's be nice. And what did be nice get them? You know, you got the, you know, Bush lied. People died. They called him Chimpy McHitler. So being nice to Democrats doesn't work. The only way that these people will heal is if, for example, these 51 spies who said that the Hunter Biden laptop bore all the signs of a Russian disinformation operation, when in fact it was legit. It was just introduced in the Hunter Biden trial as evidence in this federal trial by the Department of Justice. So it is real. It's not Russian disinformation. Those 51 former FBI, former espionage agents, at a bare minimum, should lose their security clearance. Good luck. You know, nice to have. You know, you abused it. You used it to interfere in an election. You lied to the American people. Your security clearance is gone. You know, let's start there. And if these other people who engaged in the Russia hoax and all these other shenanigans broke the law, they should be prosecuted. They should be thrown in jail. If they have law licenses, they should be shredded. They ought to be disbarred. And if this sort of thing, you know, if these people, they call it revenge, I call it justice. If Democrats finally pay a price for their abuses of power, their violations of the law, and the refusal to engage in normal political conduct, which is you just say, look, here's our agenda, here are our ideas, here's why our proposals for the country are better than yours, please vote for us. If they do that, great. But if they say, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to take people to court, we're going to sue people, we're going to bankrupt people with legal fees, et cetera, the only way that stops is if we give them a delicious taste of their own medicine and they gag on it and they say, okay, you know, let's have a ceasefire and stop this nonsense.
We're speaking with Dory Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist. His latest piece you can read in on Newsmax.com. Encourage you to check that out. Also, Fox News contributor. I want to ask you one last question. It's more of a political question that is something that I've been saying here. And, you know, we've got people who are chatting with us throughout the course of every show. Some people on the left, some people on the right. But I firmly believe that the people who are running the Democratic Party right now, who are at the far left progressive wing of the Democrat Party, who have gotten a hold of the administration, I don't think Joe Biden is the guy calling the shots. I think that's pretty obvious. But I feel like the figurehead of the Democrat Party right now is incredibly far to the left. And I think that the policies of these people, and they have the access to the power to get those policies in place, I think they hate this country. I think that they hate America. I don't think that every Democrat or anybody who's ever voted for a Democrat hates America. But I think the people who are leading the charge for the left hate America. And I was wondering if you agree with that.
I do. I think that there's a frightful anti-Americanism, if not neo-Marxism or actual communism on the part of a lot of people in and around Joe Biden. And I don't let him off the hook as easily as you do. I mean, I don't think he's making every decision on what every board and panel and commission does in Washington, D.C. But when he gets up and delivers a speech to the gun control group yesterday or anybody anywhere else, you know, he goes to these speeches, presumably reads them ahead of time, and says, look, you know, he could say, look, this takes it too far. I disagree with this. You know, why are we spending all this money? He's gotten up and bragged about violating the Supreme Court's ruling, saying that the shifting student loan debt onto the taxpayers' backs is unconstitutional. He said, and he's bragged about it, saying that, look, the Supreme Court tried to stop me. I went and did it anyway. Look, at any point he could say, guys, you know, this is too much. We got to dial this back. And he doesn't. Or maybe he's dialed it back from, you know, full-blown communism down to just sort of soft Marxism. But in any case, I don't let him off the hook. He is the villain here. He's not the victim. He's not, been kidnapped by his staff and, you know, kept down in the Situation Room and dragged out to give a speech and then thrown back down there with, you know, water and crackers. At any point, he could say, look, this is too far left. We need to move back to the center. And he has a little bit on the border, although I think that's really kind of smoke and mirrors. But I think he's in charge. He's making the big decisions. And I agree, a lot of them are un-American. This is not the Hubert Humphrey party, or maybe even the Claire McCaskill party, for that matter. These people are far left. This is much more something resembling BLM and the Black Panthers than, UAW and just unions and people wanting to spend a little more money on poor people.
Yeah. You know, Joy, you brought up the effort, that the challenge of the Supreme Court on the student loans. And I just think to myself, if he wanted to protect this country, especially from the next 9/11 event that could potentially be happening with the situation on the border, he'd be challenging and pushing his role as an executive as far as he possibly could to secure the border and not to use taxpayer funds to pay off student loans for people who may not have even completed their degree. If you really love this country, that's what he would be doing.
I agree with you. And, you know, he would be keeping the border closed. He wouldn't be letting, as we just found out a day or two ago, eight people with ties to ISIS, you know, run loose. Apparently, I think they were caught on tape saying they were looking around for bombs. I mean, this is horrifying stuff. And you would think, just if nothing else, for the sense of self-preservation, never mind caring for the American people, but just understanding, gee, if there's a 9/11 type attack between now and the election and it involves people who ran across the border on Joe Biden's watch, that blood's going to be all over him and he's going to drop another 5 or 10 points and hurt the Democrat Party. So you think, just out of a sense of self-preservation, if nothing alone, they'd be trying to keep an eye on the border and the people coming across. Instead, what we've seen under Joe Biden's watch is, I believe, when Trump was there, across all 4 years, I believe there were 11 people who came across, caught at the border, who are on the terrorist watch list. Under Joe Biden, I think it's already, if I remember correctly, the numbers around 320, something like that. I mean, it's like, you know, 30x or something like that. It's an unbelievably higher number. And those are the ones we've caught. The ones we've not caught, let's just hope that they've come to America and decided to pursue the American dream rather than to kill us.
God forbid. Oh, man. Joy Murdoch, thank you for being with us today. And we appreciate everything you do for us. And we always love talking to you. So thanks for being here again.
Likewise, Annie. Talk to you soon. Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Joy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist. His latest in news at Newsmax.com. Go check it out. Also Fox News contributor. Let's take a quick break. Robert C. Cahaley. Oh, man. I love talking to Robert C. Cahaley. He's fun to talk to. You all know how much I love polls. He makes it his daily business. And I love the way that he approaches polls comparatively to some of the other places. Now, I think polls are generally used to influence. We like to have Robert C. Cahaley on with the Trafalgar Group to talk about the direction that he's taking in his polling for the political event of the year, the campaign coming up in November. What does Robert C. Cahaley see with these convictions and voter sentiment? Well, he'll tell us on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. Don't go away.